I got this written down just in my notes of study and just a little side notes. I wrote, the Holy Ghost will take the preached word of God from your head to your heart. Now, that's nothing new. But I want you to hear it again, that the Holy Ghost will take the word preached from your head to your heart. Many times we hear the word of God. Many times we hear preached. Sometimes we even have favorite preachers. I can't help that I'm y'all's favorite preacher. It just is what it is. And amen comes everywhere. Amen. My pastor was always my favorite, even if he was the worst. He was always my favorite. And many times we hear the word of God and we like it, but it don't change our life. Why do you hear preaching? Why do you hear the word of God and it doesn't change your life? It doesn't matter if it's me or Oliver Green. It's amazing that you can hear that kind of preaching and it doesn't change your life. Why does the Word of God not change people's lives? Because the Holy Ghost ain't taking it from here to here. It's not real deep. It's just the difference between the Holy Ghost and not the Holy Ghost. That's why, to me, it's another reason why it's so vitally important that we're careful and mindful and not grievous and all those things, that we don't quench the Spirit, that we don't grieve the Spirit. So important, because all we get a lot of times is this up here and it never reaches from there to here. That's why 20 years later we're still in the same boat that was in 20 years ago. You've heard a bunch of preaching. You've heard a lot of Bible. But we're still in the same boat doing some of the same things today that we did 20 years ago. And the difference is the Holy Ghost of God, flesh and blood, has revealed it to you, but the Father which is in heaven has never made it real to you. As good as you like it, as much as you enjoyed it, that's all good. I enjoy Carowinds. But I can be honest with you. Don't do much for my spirit. It ain't in my heart. That's right. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. And I emphasize the Holy Ghost because I get so sick and tired of hearing everybody call him the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit sounds so offended. Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Ghost. That's who he is. He's the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. I ain't talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. All right, let's go to Matthew 17. I got on my notes, many times we hear the word of God and like it, but it doesn't change our life. This is due to it not reaching our heart. And while ago, or for the last two services, I've been saying deep calleth unto deep. And that's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's deep calling unto deep. It's the Holy Ghost ministering that stuff into your heart. Not in only in your ears or in your mind. I said understanding. I wrote this down. Understanding is not enough. When he's talking over in the book of Proverbs, he didn't just deal with understanding. Understanding is not enough. Do you know what he said was a tree of life? Wisdom is a tree of life. And so I said understanding is not enough. We stop at understanding most of the time because we get an understanding. We stop there. Instead of getting, ladies and gentlemen, or pursuing what the cross of Jesus Christ promises us in that word. There's more to it than just an understanding. And so we need to go beyond sometimes just getting an understanding of things. And there's things that the cross has promised us, and we need to get down to that. Amen. We need to get down. Well, Matthew 17. The Bible says, and after 6 days, verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Wonder what they were talking about. Wonder what old Moses and Elijah had to talk about with Jesus over there being transformed. I mean, the glory of God coming up on him. Well, I can promise you one thing. It wasn't about the law of God. It wasn't the law, and it wasn't the prophets. Amen. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I guarantee it had something to do with him. And the Bible says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, look at what Peter said. It is good for us to be here. I'll be honest with you. It was good. Jesus wasn't interested in that. He said, if thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Listen, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, this is what I like. Hear ye him. Hear him. It ain't about what you're thinking right now. It ain't about what they're saying. Listen to him. Hear what he's got to say. Man, you think this is good? Listen, shut up and hear him. There's some promises coming your way. Of that cross of Christ, there's something coming your way. I want you to hear him. That's important. I want you to understand that Moses represents the outward moral standard of man. That's what Moses represents. Elijah represents the outward human standard. Moses stands for the law, and Elijah stands for the prophets. The standard of the law was present. In this text, the standard of the law was there. The standard of the prophets. You got allergies too? My goodness, what's wrong with everybody? Everybody's got it. I guess. The standard of the law was present and the standard of the prophets was present. But I want you to understand something. The standard of the law and the standard of the prophets is no longer the standard. It's not about the law and it's not what those prophets had to say. But ladies and gentlemen, it's about Jesus Christ himself. Do you know what the standard is today? It's Jesus. It ain't good and evil. It ain't right and wrong. It ain't those things. It's Jesus Christ himself. He is the standard. You like that pizza, boy? You say, preacher, I don't know. Let me read you my good verse one more time. In him we live and move and have our being. Amen. He is the standard. I mean, it ain't because of what's good. It ain't because of what's right. It ain't got nothing to do with evil. It's because of him. In him. In him we live and move and have our being. It's good. Don't answer me out loud. You can answer to yourself. But let me ask you this question. If your neighbor was sneaking over at night and you're on county water and you got a bill for your water every other month, and your neighbor was sneaking over at night and he was tapping into your hose bib outside and he was stealing your water and he was over there irrigating his garden in the middle of the night while you were asleep, and you noticed the next month that your water bill came that it was $100 more and you couldn't figure it out, and you started paying attention and all of a sudden you realized that somebody was stealing your water. My son got a water bill for $700 one month. $700 one month. And I said, dear God, son, did a tanker truck come by every day and fill up? I mean, $700 for water? How in the world do you spend $700 for water? I said, something's wrong. Something is wrong. I said, no, don't even begin to pay that bill. Something is wrong. Figure out what's wrong. $700 for water. Man, my goodness, there's a river right down there, you know? You don't have to spend $700 on water. Well, if your neighbor was over there stealing water, and you caught him, you was over there one night, you're looking out the window, and you saw him creeping up, had that little mask on, his little hat, and that black cape, and he was creeping over there, you know,
and you caught him red-handed. You saw him right there through the window. And he's got a family over there, and he's got a garden over there, and he's got his water hose, and he's hooking up into your faucet, and he's going over there all night, and he's irrigating his garden. You say, man, what do I do? You can tell some of your friends, and man, I got my neighbor over there, and he's stealing water from me. I mean, that sucker's increased my bill $100 a month. He's stealing my water. What do I do? You know, it's not a bad suggestion that, well, I'd go confront the guy. And, hey, listen, if he don't pay up, I'd take it out on his backside. That's a pretty good suggestion. There ain't nothing sounds wrong with that to me. I mean, that's a good old way. Hey, look, you stole from it, buddy. Give me my stuff. You're going to pay me, or we're going to get down to business. That ain't too bad of a suggestion. I wouldn't attempt it. My neighbor, you know, he's a little bit tougher than I am. Figure out a better way to do that. Y'all don't know who my neighbor is. My neighbor's Elmer Fudd. My neighbor's Elmer Fudd. I ain't messing with my neighbor. I tell you what I'd do. I'd go out there one night and jerk a knot in his hind end, sucker, and come over and steal my water. But that seems right. That seems okay. Man's over still. I've got to tell you what I'd do. I'd go out there and steal my stuff. Many would suggest, well, call the law. That seems fair. Ain't nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that? Ain't nothing wrong with that. Call the law. I tell you what I'd do. I'd call the law. I'd video that sucker and have it on video recording, and I'd call the law and I'd turn him in. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But you say, well, no, I don't want to turn him in. I mean, he's over there trying to grow a garden. He's trying to feed his family. I don't want to do that. You know, I'm just going to let him have the water. I ain't going to do nothing. And you can let him have the water, and you can know that he's increased your water bill $100 every other month. And you know why it's doing that. And you know what? You can do that and still, ladies and gentlemen, not have peace about it. There's something down on the inside that will trouble you, although you ain't done nothing, you ain't turned him in, you ain't went out there and confronted him. And there's nothing even wrong with some of those things, confronting him or turning him in. Nothing wrong with that. But instead, you take the high road and you say, you know what, just let him have the water. But still, there's some trouble going on. Something just ain't right. No peace. You just can't get peace over that. Here's what Jesus would do. Jesus would take and buy him a better irrigation head. Jesus would have you take and buy him a better sprinkler head that does a better job at covering his garden. He might want you to get him a more efficient hose. He might want you first and foremost, before you even worry about yourself. Hey, man, I'll tell you what the Lord's impressed me to do. The Lord's impressed me to be a blessing, try to help you with your garden. Before I do anything with my water, I want to give you water because I want to be a blessing. And I ain't saying I'm that spiritual. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that's a difference, and I'll show you in a second. That's a difference between doing what's right and wrong and doing what God would have you do. And the reason I use that illustration is because I knew two brothers that had two Chinese brothers that had a rice paddy, and they would run water in that rice paddy, and they would, you know how they are, those fields are underwater, and they would dam their field up, but yet another guy lived down the hill from them, he would go dig a hole into their dam and let the water run out of their rice field into his. You know what they did? They went all through what they could do. But instead, what they ended up doing was going over there filling his field up first. And after they took care of him, then they took care of their own field. And they said, man, God gave them a real deep, settled peace for doing that thing God's way. I'm getting somewhere. Just hold on a second, please.
If the guy down the hill, I just thought about it, Eric. If the guy down the hill was a heathen and the two brothers up on the hill knew God, what do you think would help that guy down the hill see Jesus better? If they called the law on him? If they went down there and confronted him and said, look, man, you've been digging holes in our dam and stealing our water. And what we're going to need is we're going to need $100 from you every month, every other month, to take care of that need. Or do you think they would see Jesus in that? Or do you think they would see Jesus better if they went, you know what, man, we're going to take care of you first. We just want to be a blessing to you. I think that if that man was godless and those men did the godly thing instead of the right thing, because doing the right thing would have made him have to pay them. But I think if they would have done the godly thing, that man would have said, you know what, I don't know nothing about Christianity, but I want what them men's got. It's the difference between right and wrong and godly. It's the difference between right and wrong and godly. It would have been right for them to confront him. But it was godly of them to take care of his need first. And then take care of that. It was godly. They could, that man, that heathen, could see Jesus in that a whole lot better than he could see Jesus in them doing the right thing. And they could have done the right thing and never had peace of mind, never had peace of heart. Why? Because they did partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They did that, but it was producing death. But when they did what Jesus wanted, it gave them peace. It's amazing. Well, here you do the good and the right thing and nobody will fault you. Ain't nobody going to do that. Ain't nobody going to find fault with you doing the right thing. Man, how can you say something about somebody doing the right thing? I mean, man, you're doing good stuff. How can people say anything about that? And then you got this old crazy preacher over here preaching against it. You say, man, I did this or I did that. We got that. Listen, ain't nobody going to say nothing about it. And God's sitting there going, so? I mean, man, I went to church today and God's going, so? So what? You did the right thing. So what? What about me? But did you please me? Did you glorify me in that? Or did it ease your conscience? Did it make you feel good about you? Did you make the right decision because of your human reasoning? And it eased your conscience. It's good. Good question. Good question. God's not satisfied with you and I being right. That's what I'm trying to get at you. He's not satisfied with that. He requires satisfying the divine life. See, there's something on the inside. That Godhead lives on the inside of me. And God's interested in me fulfilling His will and accomplishing His will and doing what pleases Him versus doing all the good and right stuff in the world. And I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, don't get confused. Doing what God wants is good. Doing what God wants is right. That's always the right thing to do. Obeying His word is always the right thing to do. Let me ask you a question. Is it right for me to get two men in this congregation? The law says it is. The law says it is. Is it right for me to bring two men in here and marry them? The law says it's right. Will that please God if I did that? No, please God. The difference between right and wrong, ladies and gentlemen, and pleasing God. It's not hard. It's not complicated. This is exactly what the Sermon on the Mount should teach us in Matthew 5 through 7. It teaches us that being right is not enough. I'll try to expound this and try to be done. But when someone strikes you on the cheek, ladies and gentlemen, it's not enough just to walk away. Walking away is good. Walking away would be right. Doesn't America say, be the bigger man? Walk away. I mean, man, somebody causes trouble, be the bigger man. Walk away. God don't say walk away. God didn't ever tell you to walk away when somebody hits you. Here's what pleased God. Turn to Him also the other. Now, the bigger man, based on America, the right thing, the good thing would be to be the bigger man and turn and walk away. God didn't say do that. God said turn him your other cheek and let him smite that one also. That's the difference between right and wrong and godly. Preacher, now wait a minute. Listen, if a man tries to sue you for your coat, give him your cloak also. If he asks you to go 1 mile with him, going 1 mile is good. Going 1 mile would be right.
That's what the man wanted. That's what he asked for. That's good. God said, hey, do better than good. Please me. Go two. Don't go one. That's the whole idea behind the Sermon on the Mount. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew 5 through 7 has been on display my entire life by my school teachers that were heathens. They believed in these golden rules and how to treat other people. And you know what? Humanism, that's good. That's right to human beings. God said, listen, that's man's standard. My standard is much higher. Man, what's your coat? Listen, he said, don't turn away nobody that's going to borrow something. That's our, hey, listen, man, that sucker don't never bring my stuff back. I borrowed my wheelbarrow, ain't never brought it back. That's sorry, Miss Holly, she borrowed my book. And she ain't never brought it back. I ain't never loaned her another book. Boy, I tell you one thing. She did get that. Forgot all about that book. Did you forget about my book? Boy, I didn't. I got bitterness in my heart, Miss Holly. She's a little book thief. She said, Steve, your home will never be right till she gets my book back to me.
Maybe that's the problem.
I hadn't thought about that book till just now.
That's the key.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing it up. The world says, be the bigger man. God said, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee. And from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. That's God's way. Now, we can find all kind of human reason why it's not right to loan this sucker something. Man, I mean, I got this people in my life that for some reason they're broke. I don't know why they're broke, but they're broke. And I want to know why they're broke so that I can justify my knowledge of good and evil. And I want to have a good reason for chewing them out and turning them down. You know, but for some reason, Eric, they keep asking to borrow money. And we'll pay you back next Wednesday. And I guess we're at church because we never catch them on Wednesday. And yeah, and then the next month they go, hey man, can I borrow some more money? And look, we'll pay you back and we'll get it back to you. We got a check coming in. We'll pay you back. And I told my wife, I said, hey, listen, just give them the money. I don't care how many times they ask. Just give them the money. We're not going to say no to them. I didn't tell them that, but I told her that. I said, we're not going to say no. We're not going to say no to them. And so don't worry. I mean, it ain't a whole lot of money, but, you know, it's just all over and over. And not because I'm some super spiritual person, but I just told her, I said, we're just going to give it to them. We're not going to jump up in there and volunteer. Woo, yeah, how about you? But we're going to give it to them. And it'd be so easy. And it would be so right. And it would be so good to say, you know what? For 3 months you've asked money from me, 2 or 3 times every month. And you keep telling me, you're going, what would be wrong when we said, look, you told me you was going to pay me back. You've never paid me back. What would be wrong with that? God wouldn't be pleased with it. God would not be pleased with that. He said, don't turn them away. And so, you know, I felt, you know, there's times where, you know, I know people's going to go buy some crystal meth, and I don't give them money. I know he's going to go buy him a bottle of wine, and I don't give him money. But there's times where that small, still voice on the inside of me says, hey, give him the money. Who, I ain't talking about anybody in particular, but when he speaks to me, I try to be obedient. And I was thinking last night, well, maybe it was in the wee hours of the morning. I lose track of time anymore. But I was thinking at some point yesterday or this morning of the times where God spoke to me about money and giving money and donating money. And I was thinking about the special times where I really didn't have the money. And
had very little money, but God went after the big bill. You know, he went after the bigger chunk of money, you know, where you got two bills. That's what I'm talking about. One's a five and one's a 20. And God goes after the 20. You know, oh, five would have been good. Five would have been good. Anybody would say, man, yeah, that's a blessing. Boy, he gave. He got the two and he gave one of them. It seemed like you reach in there and grab that little one, and God says, uh-uh, you know, get the other one. You know, about good and right and wrong. It's about pleasing God. You understand, if you tried to fulfill the Sermon on the Mount over in the book of Matthew, you'd probably die, because it ain't within us to do that. It takes God to do that kind of stuff. Take God to fulfill that sermon in us. It take God. Well, it's impossible for our flesh to accomplish the things that's done in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Well, how in the world are we going to ever get it done, preacher? Because he's put a treasure in these earthen vessels. You understand? There's a treasure inside of me that, hey man, I may not can accomplish Matthew 5 through 7, but thank God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, he can get it done through me. I can't always turn to somebody the other cheek. Sometimes that's the hardest thing in the world to do, is to turn to somebody the other cheek and let them have it too. When somebody comes after you, say, man, have at it. Let it be. I'll give Eric and Hannah a compliment that they'll only probably get a hold of. But they had a good trip up to Eric's mom and dad's the other day. And Eric, you gave me the report of the trip and even the trips in the past, the time y'all spent together. And I want you to understand something, you and your wife. The trip went well because of you and your wife. Right. The trip went better this go round, because of Eric and his wife. I mean, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, grandparents can come at you. I mean, you know, they don't really mean harm. They just see things that sometimes we don't quite understand, or, you know, that we don't see eye to eye, and maybe they got some different ideas than we got, and if you ain't careful, you're going to have to be right. No, I'm right. And then they're right. And when everybody can't be right, unless they're in the Spirit of God. But if we're not walking in the Spirit, and if you just let them be right, you'd be wrong. So what? That's a hard pill to swallow. But it's a good pill to swallow. Just be wrong. It's okay. God knows. God's keeping up with it. Hey, your opinion of me, that matters to me a little bit. But what really matters is what God thinks about it. So what if your family don't like the way you discipline your child? So what if her family don't like the way you discipline? Is God pleased with the way you discipline that child? That's all that matters. Sure. I beat y'all. I beat the devil out of you. Tried to. I didn't succeed, but I tried. Say, man, they still got plenty of the devil. Him and his brothers. Steve said the devil wore black. I've never been close enough to him to know, but somebody does. Somebody knows him. I said he wears chaps. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Does it please the Lord? I made a statement in here about a month ago that we get people go, oh, y'all remember the statement I made? Them poor kids. Look at the clothes they have to wear. There's a family in this church. About 2 weeks after I made that statement, somebody looked at them and went, y'all shouldn't make that little girl wear them dresses like that. They're just too long. What's too long? I mean, you know, come on.
Say, listen, man, that don't please. I catch grief. I catch flack. But what does God think about it? Does it please him? No. I mean, man, good and right and wrong and evil and this opinion and that opinion. What I need to know is, what does God think of? Is God pleased? You can say whatever you want to. I'll turn the cheek to you. You can say what you want to. I'll give you my cloak also. You say what you want to. Do what you want to. By the grace of God, we're going to walk 2 miles with you. By the grace of God. I'm just asking you to examine yourself and see if you're eating of the tree of life, or are you walking in the way of right and wrong? Are you doing what you do because it's right? Are you neglecting things because it's wrong? Or are you walking in the tree of life? Are you doing it through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Ghost of God? And that's where we need to be, and that's where we can be, and that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what God wants. He wants to save us and fill us with the Holy Ghost and lead us and guide us and direct us and comfort us. And man, He wants to do all that. He wants to have that fellowship. He wants to sup with us. He wants to hear your voice, and He wants you to hear His. It's pretty good. If we examine the Scriptures carefully, we will see that it's grievous to decide matters, to decide things, to make decisions in our life by principles of right or wrong. Did you hear me? I said it grieves the Father when you and I make decisions in our life based on what's right or what's wrong. Or be based on the Word of God, or be based on what God thinks. We can see it over and over and over again when you take time to examine the Scriptures. Doing what's right versus doing what's godly. There's a lot of right things to do, ladies and gentlemen, that God's not pleased with. And there's a lot of right things to do that's not necessarily ever wrong. But it's just not what God's after. It's what I said a while ago. I've tried to get up several times last Sunday morning, and there wasn't a thing in the world wrong with that. But God wouldn't let me. There's been times in my life where I wanted to say things and do things, and there wasn't nothing wrong with it. But God wasn't pleased with it. There's been times where I have said things and there wasn't nothing wrong with it. But God wasn't pleased with it. You say, how you know? Because fellowship is broken. Boy, you can feel it down on the inside. Grieve in the Holy Ghost of God down on the inside of you. Boy, it locks it up. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever do partake of that tree of life and you are doing these things based on the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there's no peace. There's trouble. There's turmoil. Zach was talking about this morning being able to come before the throne of grace, having that clear conscience to come before God, having a clear conscience between him and his child, and you and your child, and you and your father. It goes to God. That's why God chastens us, man. It clears our conscience. It clears the air. Man, it gets that stuff behind us. It's over with. Thank God. And it restores that fellowship, and that restores us to righteousness. Man, that's where we can approach the throne of grace with boldness. None of that junk in our mind. It ain't tucked away knowing, dear God, there's something between me and him. And I really can't let my petitions be made known. I can't really say it like I want to say it, like it's in there. No, sir. There's something wrong. It's about pleasing God and doing things God's way. Doing it God's way. What would the Lord have? What would please him? And you don't have to sit and figure that out. Let me say that, because people get super spiritual sometimes and make this thing very spooky. You know, you get to make it kind of spooky. You don't have to do all that. The Holy Ghost will teach you. Ain't that what he said? Did he not say that he would teach you? He's a teacher. That's what the grace of God will do in your life. The grace of God to bring us salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us. That denying ungodliness, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. It's a teaching you. And the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into those things. Sometimes you'll go wrong, guess what he'll do? He'll nudge you. Sometimes you'll go this way and he'll nudge you, and he'll get you, if you're obedient, if you do what pleases God, you'll get on board with him. It's not hard, ladies and gentlemen. He said, my sheep know my voice. It's not hard. Hey man, the transgressor is hard. Living for Jesus is the best thing in the world, man. It's the greatest thing in the world. You just got to be sensitive and be obedient. And for God's sakes, let's get past this little thing of doing what's right and doing what's wrong, and let's do what pleases God. That tree of knowledge was right and wrong, good and evil.
But the tree of life, it's a whole different story. Amen. Walking in obedience. Father, we thank you for this day. Help us, dear God, to get a hold of, dear Lord, pleasing the Father versus pleasing their human reasoning. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, draw closer to you and have a better understanding. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to grow in grace and knowledge and truth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this blessed day. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.